for your listening pleasure, a Northwest native.
Bluest skies you've ever seen.
Showers throughout the night.
An outspoken observer, the sage of Seattle, Robert Bryan. With a sparkle in her eye, a ray of sunshine, a sunbeam from the Sunshine State.
Come on down to the Sunshine State.
Lil Hinkle, one of America's last unbiased, unslanted, untainted journalists.
This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thomas Brock, each with their own take on world events.
You're a nasty person.
Sorry, sir. Doing my best.
The wacky.
Excuse me.
The weird.
Where did you find that?
Keep your voice down, please.
The wonderful.
There's been a response.
And news of the day.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
It's the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. Hello, America. This is Thomas Brock. Welcome to the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show with Robert Bryan, Lil Hinkle.
Hey.
And I'm Thomas Brock, and we want to welcome you to the show, one of our inaugural editions of the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. And there's a lot to talk about today. First thing we want to talk about is don't take your Mazda to a Mazda dealership if you don't want your car driven around town. We have a woman who brought her Mazda into a Mazda dealership. The information I saw didn't mention the city, but she just took it in because she had a little crack in her windshield. She wanted it repaired, but she discovered with a new app that Mazda has come out with later in the evening that her car was parked 30 miles away from the dealership, possibly at someone's home who works there. She explained that she just took it in for a repair, and this new app lets you know. First thing that she noticed,
the doors were unlocked. And I was like, why would the doors to my car be unlocked at 9:30 at night when the dealership is closed? So I looked and I realized that my gas gauge was only at 81% and I topped off the fuel.
That's Mazda owner Paige. And she was, needless to say, a little bit surprised that she didn't have her car at the dealership anymore and that it was way outside of the dealership, and she was wondering why.
So there's no reason why it should be driven, you know, on the road, especially to use a quarter tank of gas.
A little bit disconcerting, to say the least. And she tried to get some answers from the dealership.
And I notice that there's a map icon in the My Mazda app. I haven't really used it that much. I've never owned a Mazda before. And so I click on it, and my car is 30 miles away from the dealership.
A little disturbing, to say the least.
Quite.
And so I click on it, and my car is 30 miles away from the dealership at a personal address.
A little bit upset, she confronted Mazda later after the car was actually driven back the next morning. I think she tells us about that, too.
Like, is this something that dealerships do all the time? Is it a fluke that I figured out that this happened? Is this something that is, like, common practice? Should I not be upset about this?
So the dealership's answer to her was, well, there was a check engine light coming on the dashboard, so our technician had to drive it to go check it out. Sure, right, and leave it at his residence all night long. It wasn't until 6:30 in the morning she checked the app the next day that it had returned to the dealership minus an eighth of a tank of gas.
And what did she bring it in for initially?
A cracked windshield.
Yeah, like that would register.
And she said there was never a check engine light on. And she's just wondering, is this standard practice? Does this happen at dealerships across the nation?
This is something for all of us. Note to self, don't trust them. Any dealership.
So their explanation was not good enough for her. I think she...
No.
If I were her, I would have probably taken my car somewhere else and maybe, I don't know.
Did she at least call like headquarters there? You know, there's got to be like a national headquarter that she could have called. Or even just within that dealership, there's got to be somebody that she could have, you know, complained to and said, look, this is wrong.
I want answers.
How are you going to make this right?
Yeah.
You call the district manager.
There you go.
They'll take care of it.
Yeah. And I want a little bit more than just my tank filled because this is wrong.
We also know about a horse that tried to board a train in England.
Ah,
right, Lil?
Actually, this was Australia.
Australia.
Warwick Farm in New South Wales. All of a sudden, this rogue horse shows up at the train station, and they posted it as missing individual wearing only a rug and demonstrating a bit of horseplay. And it went from there to the car park, or what we would call a parking lot here, and the owner finally showed up. This is actually a racehorse. The owner finally showed up and reclaimed the horse. And as they finished things up, they said he was reported to be wearing only a rug and demonstrating a bit of horseplay. And there's one other funny statement they had with this.
I know a few elderly friends of mine who wear a rug too.
Different kind of rug. No one involved in the incident intended to take any further action, as the individual was only horsing around. So it was just a kind of a fun story. I mean, who expects? I mean, we see dogs and cats and things like that around different places like that. But to see
did
a
the horse,
horse
get on the train?
It was trying to.
Apparently, he tried to, and somehow was dissuaded. I don't know if they pulled him off or they just redirected him.
From what
obviously,
I saw,
standing
at the yellow line just waiting.
I know. How is that for an intelligent horse, new to stand behind the yellow line? And I can only think, too, I mean, that somebody must have been there who had some experience with horses, was able to maybe help direct the horse away from the train. That's how we wound up in the parking lot.
It was Wilbur. Wilbur was helping him get on that train.
Very, very possibly.
I saw another thing in the news. One of the oldest men in the world has a secret to his longevity, Robert.
Yeah, well, a man was just crowned by Guinness to be the oldest man in the world. His name is John Alfred Tenniswood, and he's 111 years old.
Wow.
And Mr. Tenniswood has the secret to his longevity, and that is eat fish and chips every Friday. And he's been doing this for about 100 years.
That's so simple.
Yeah.
Well, fish oil is good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he only does it on Fridays because he says, if you drink too much, or you eat too much, or you walk too much, if you do too much of anything, you're going to suffer eventually. Well, this man has lived to be 111 years old, so he's doing something right.
Sounds like he lived a pretty boring life, though, not eating too much and drinking too much.
Or smoking.
But I guess
obviously had a thing for fish and chips.
There is an exchange.
Yeah.
Yes, but
it.
It's the deep fried part of the thing
I know
that bothers me. Is that really
That's a lot
a healthy
of oil.
Lifestyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, too, I think it depends on the kind of oil that they're using. I mean, if most places aren't using a good quality olive oil or avocado oil, it's usually some kind of seed oil or something like that, and you just hope for the best. But yeah. I think a lot of it is genetics, but you want to blame it on fish and chips, go for it.
Yeah.
So 111 years old, John Tenniswood,
mm-hmm.
the new holder of the title for Guinness
yes.
World's Record, oldest man alive.
Yes, because the earlier oldest man was Juan Vincent Perez, and he was 114. So, that's not the oldest person in the world, though. The oldest woman is 117 years old.
God bless you.
Maria Brañas Morea of Spain.
Wow.
Maybe those two should get together and have fish and chips.
I think what's really cool, is hopefully, I mean, this guy sounds like he's got his marbles about him. And when we get up to that age, you know, a lot of times people aren't, but, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that if they're still,
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have fish and chips for dinner tonight.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
We can all get together and have a little Arthur Treachers.
Yes.
All right, coming up, we've got our wackadoo of the week. You're not gonna believe what this guy did, Mr. Robert Polticelli. The wackadoo of the week. Also, what one blue city is having to do because they're being overrun by immigrants. That's coming up.
For the first time in 20 years, TWA is back. Fly Trans World Airlines, your gender-affirming airline, and do your part to bring diversity and inclusion to the airways. Our crews, from pilots to ground crews to ticketing agents, are 100% non-binary, gender-reassigned professionals.
Good afternoon. This is the captain speaking.
Fly Trans World Airlines and add a certain flair to your flight. Transworld Airlines, bringing a whole new meaning to aeronautical principles of lift, thrust, and drag. TWA, we're not second-class citizens. Join us in first class for a complimentary drag queen story hour and bring the little ones, never too early to reaffirm one's gender. Crew members bring their own baggage, but won't share their feelings of unhappy or dissatisfied gender dysphoria with passengers. Transworld Airlines. And you can use any bathroom you choose. TWA. Our captains didn't graduate at the top of their flight schools, but do identify as avionics experts. Fly TWA, Transworld Airlines. We put the trans back into flying. Transworld Airlines.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. Robert, Brian, Lil Hinkle, Thomas Brock, we're glad you joined us. And we are finding out that more and more people are being arrested for January 6th. This thing is not over yet. The feds are after people who were in the Capitol building on 2021, January 6th. We're talking about more than 3 years ago, and they're still pursuing these criminals, Lil.
Yep. As of the 6th of this month, I believe, we are close to 1,400 people being arrested for different charges stemming from the run on the Capitol. 122 arrests were logged in 2024, which
in the
vastly,
first 3 months.
Yeah, and that vastly outpaced what was going on the first part of last year. And so the numbers have gone up. They've been charged with entering and remaining in restricted buildings or grounds. People were involved with deadly or dangerous weapons, carrying them on their persons. Some of them actually used them. I mean, breaking windows and different things like that. 353 people were charged with corruptly obstructing an official proceeding, which was Congress's, you know, they were going to get their thing started that day, and that got postponed. Mm-hmm. And moving on from that, 791 people have pleaded guilty to different things regarding all that, 69% of which were misdemeanors and 31% were felonies.
Contrast that, if you will, with how many people were arrested during the Summer of Love, violent, mostly peaceful protests.
Exactly.
Other than the ones that ignited the federal buildings and attacked police officers. I don't recall hearing a whole lot of prosecution of, I guess it depends on what your message is when you are conducting a demonstration.
Well, there's all that going on now, and now they're pulling evidence together for all of this, and there are different case things that they're using in relation to this, and somebody actually referred to all the stuff that's going on and gathering all this evidence as a tsunami of garbage that they're trying to pull together, and the case references and everything.
Some of these cases are going to end up before the Supreme Court, too,
yeah.
It sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
The DOJ is using a novel approach to the law, using the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act, which was used in the Enron scandal.
Yeah.
Because there was an hours-long delay of a joint session of Congress.
And they did ransack Nancy Pelosi's office.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure hers wasn't the only one, but because she was of note, that's what got mentioned.
This is after she declined to bring in the National Guard troops.
What's really a shame is that, you know, these people went in there. It's the people's house. Okay, this was not handled properly. And this should not have happened. And I understand that. But at the same time, like you were saying just before, Tom, the people, Summer of Love, all that stuff, we've heard nothing of that. And there were thousands of more people involved with that nationally, and nothing's been done. And the other thing to think about this is this was probably all gathered by facial recognition and all kinds of stuff that's associated with that to match faces to names and make all this come about. This is huge. There was a story recently about a grandmother, and I don't even remember how old she was or where she was from, just happened to see an open door and walked in, didn't do anything, took a picture, walked out, and she was arrested. That's ridiculous. You know, she has a chance of being sentenced to as much as 10 years in prison for this.
Whoa.
That just isn't right.
And we're seeing, this is why some civil rights and civil liberties groups are arguing against the use of facial recognition.
Yeah, well, and it's more than just this. It's the government having way too much power over the people who they're supposed to be representing, not using the power in such a conflated way against the people who put them into office. This was never meant to be this.
Some of these cases that are going to court, I think, are going to be challenged on the issue of change of venue as well, because the U.S. District Court judges in D.C., even though motions were made to have them moved out, defendants have argued that heavy pretrial publicity and a slanted jury pool in the D.C. area makes it impossible for them to get a fair trial, but they were never granted change of venue in any of these cases.
791 of them, though, pleaded guilty.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And those were probably misdemeanors that they could have walked away with, probably a fine or probation or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, but then you come back to something like, did we talk about this last time? But it's out there. Steve Baker, who's a journalist, who went in, and it's documented with tape. It's on file. He just stood to the side as a journalist.
He was one of many journalists.
Yes, but he was the only one who's been arrested for just being there. There were other journalists in the building.
And it took them
doing
months
the same thing
to decide whether to charge him. I mean, they said, well, stand by. We haven't decided whether we're going to charge you or not for months.
Well, the big
months.
Thing that really pissed him off was when he just turned around and said, so we have the tapes and this is what we found. And that really got them bent out of shape and had them move against him.
One of those people who was at the Capitol building that day, January 6th, qualifies as our wackadoo of the week.
Yes.
It's the wackadoo of the week.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready. Go.
Now here's a dance.
A wackadoo, wackadoo.
Everyone can do.
A wackadoo, wackadoo.
It's the hipster's dance.
A wackadoo, wackadoo.
And the square cats too.
A wackadoo, wackadoo.
Won't you take a chance?
Everybody's wondering, what did he do? Why is he the wackadoo of the week? Well, this guy is from New Jersey. He's a business owner. He stormed the Capitol with everybody else, if you could call it storming the Capitol, but with a difference. He had a jacket bearing his name and phone number on it, making it very easy for federal authorities to figure out who he was and to get a hold of him. 27-year-old Robert Capitelli is our wackadoo of the week for just pretty much
being stupid.
advertising. Well, you know, he couldn't predict the overbearing prosecution that was going to be emanating from the walls of the Capitol area after all of these people went to there. But he's facing 4 misdemeanor counts and massive prosecution because he had on his chest, I think on his left lapel of his jacket and bearing across the back, his back, Capitelli Heavy Equipment Sales and Services.
And
along with his phone number.
He did put on a mask, though, and wore a hat, so AI couldn't identify him.
In his defense, I'm sure he never showed up there with the idea that he was going to be arrested or probably not even thinking he was going to wind up in the Capitol building. I mean, nobody really saw that coming on until it all happened. So in his defense, but yeah, it was kind of stupid to show up like that. Don't you wish that when it came to things like graffiti and other things that people would just like leave their signature on it like an artist, you know, down in the lower right corner or something?
Well, some people do, but it's not their real name.
Yeah, it's their pen name.
This guy spent 12 minutes walking through the stormed building before he, I suppose you could say this is an illegal activity, crawling through a broken window, although he wasn't the one who broke it. And after that, he vanished. But they were able to track him down because he left his number.
on both the front and back of him.
That's right. And Robert Robert, we want to congratulate you on being our first ever in this inaugural edition of the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. First ever Wackadoo of the Week.
We need a gong right here.
Yes.
All kidding aside, we hope that it does go well when he ends up getting a good defense attorney.
Yes.
Well, there's a city in the Rocky Mountain states that is also dealing with police problems, but this one is police cuts, right, Robert?
Yeah, well, they're cutting their police force so they can fund illegal immigrants to come to Denver, Colorado. It's the top destination for incoming migrants in 2023, having more than 40,000 arrive that year alone, putting the total migrant population at roughly 710,000, according to NBC News. Denver's already spent over $42 million in 2023 for housing the illegal immigrants. And this year, they plan on spending $100 million on the immigrants. But they're also, to fund it, they're gonna defund the fire department also, as well as the police department. But the city won't stop recruiting classes for new police officers or firefighters. But at least one class will have to be conducted at the Denver International Airport. It's paying for the cost of hosting it.
But with all these people, they've got significant needs. They've got housing and medical and all kinds of things that need to be paid for. So it's not surprising, as a once declared sanctuary city, that, and maybe Greg Abbott is to blame, because many of these migrants came from Texas.
Go they right to the them. Source.
Yeah, they bust them right to Denver.
Go right to the source.
Yeah.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Mr. Open up the gates and let them in.
Well, they become citizens and they vote for Joe.
That's the idea.
Total migrant population, 710,000 people in 2023. No, 40,000 in 2023 total over the last 3 years, 710, according to NBC News.
It's a lot of immigrants.
Mayorkas should be taken out and but just put down there, maybe just shipped across the border and let them stay there. Since we can't seem to be able to get it together to have him impeached.
There is no crisis at the border.
Nope.
The border is closed, is secure. It's not just the police department, the fire department that are losing funding. The mayor's office,
yes,
$335,000, 9% of his total budget. The sheriff's department, 2%. Public health department, 2%. Department of Transportation and Infrastructure, 3.8%, according to Fox 31 Denver. So 15,000 migrants flooding into Denver just since May of last year.
Yeah, and they're even coming from Canada.
Yeah, we don't talk about the northern border much.
Yeah.
Only because the problem is so severe south.
Yeah. Well, they can just walk across the border up there.
Yeah.
Unless Joe
Can
Biden's.
They really?
Yeah. I actually did it.
Okay.
Depends on what part of the border, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would think so, because I know I have a friend who said they've got family who live across the border, and they can't even cross the line. There's people just watching them. They can say hi, maybe a handshake, maybe, and that's about it. So,
yeah, open borders.
Also saw this in the news: a woman got the attention of police in Florida during the eclipse that we had recently, and she was on a mission from God.
Yes.
She said that God directed her to go out and drive on her car on the highway and start shooting at people. Message from God. She got it directly from the big guy upstairs. She had checked out of a Florida hotel, told staff that she was going on a God-directed shooting spree. She actually announced it before she was going to do it because of the solar eclipse.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. Just something stupid in the dark.
Well, God made it dark days, so she needed to do a dark action, I guess.
Yeah.
22-year-old Talon Nichelle Celestine of Georgia. This is on Highway 115. Within 5 miles, she started firing into a passing car several times. She sprayed auto glass all over the place, grazing that driver in the arm, then fired at another vehicle, hitting that driver in the neck. Ooh. That driver had to be taken to the hospital.
I can't.
This is serious.
Wow. And she was packing a 9mm and an AR-15.
She was armed to the teeth.
Yes.
So she's facing attempted murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, improper discharge of a firearm. And there's been an uptick. Officials were warning of an expected spike in crime during the eclipse.
Yeah.
Now, can you figure that out? Why would there be a spike in crime because of an eclipse?
Mental problems. People just perceiving things so much differently. Just thinking that this is a time to do something stupid because of the eclipse.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
And she was driving a nice car, though.
Remember, we had an eclipse back in 2017 as well, and there was a temporary increase in deadly car crashes during that previous eclipse. Now, get this. She's in Florida doing this shooting. Florida didn't even have a totality of these eclipses. They had a partial eclipse, so there were people out on the highways watching for it.
Yeah. Look out for the purple Dodge Challenger.
You know, you think about it, nothing was said about other vehicles in the area that were around her when all this happened. Can you imagine how much worse this could have been? I would think that if there were other cars involved, that if, as a result of the shooting, these cars had hit other chain cars. I would imagine we would have some information on it, but we don't. So I'm going to assume, hopefully not wrongfully, that nobody else was involved. But this could have been really much, much worse.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yes. Could have been a lot.
We are coming up to some information about San Francisco stores that have a chance of being sued because they can't stay in business because of how much money they're losing from shoplifting and damage and homeless people, and we'll tell you more about that in a second. Also, the number of car thefts on the rise.
Sick of smelly scent from sidewalk stool on soles of your shoes? Loafers landing in loathsome landmines leave you in a lurch? Fragrant funk fouling your favorite footwear?
No!
You need No Hidden Feces. You'll wonder how you ever lived without this one-of-a-kind device, a technological miracle in a world filled with the heedless homeless.
I used No Hidden Feces, and my feet are feces-free.
No Hidden Feces. The patented device scans the sidewalk ahead, identifies potential piles, and sounds an alarm when you're in doo-doo danger. It's a godsend.
We never take walks without it.
No Hidden Feces. No more worries when strolling the precarious pavement. No Hidden Feces. Keep your feet feces-free with No Hidden Feces.
Go to nofeces.com and order yours today.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Back to the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. Thanks for joining us. We are looking at Safeways and Whole Foods in San Francisco having to shutter their doors and windows, going out of business because they just can't handle all of the problems with trying to stay in business in the Market Street area and in the Fillmore District of San Francisco. Whole Foods closed its Market Street location last year after 568 emergency calls in a 13-month period from things like vagrants throwing food, yelling, fighting, attempting to defecate on the floor, according to the New York Times. And now the city has a solution. If you have a store in your neighborhood that has decided to close, you can file a lawsuit against them. And require them to give you a 6-month notice before they shut down, regardless of how much money they are losing every day. Force a business, a corporation, to lose money for months on end before being approved to shut down.
That's so absurd.
Shoplifter's heaven.
Oh, yeah. They floated the proposal back in January with the San Francisco Board of Supervisors after supermarket in Fillmore announced it would close in March. That is the Whole Foods. Safeway, which operates about 15 locations around the San Francisco greater area, sold the land on which one Safeway sits. And the Whole Foods was the one that closed in Market Street. Safeway in Fillmore, they sold it to a real estate developer who's planning a mixed-use project, but Safeway, out of business. They were on a 3.5-acre parcel. So they'll give you 6 months to either find another business owner who's willing to come in and operate a similar grocery store. Yeah, good luck with that. Or you must stay in business, or you can be sued under this proposal. It's not law yet.
I think the store should just hire some security guards.
The problem with security guards, and we're seeing it here, they're so limited to what they can do.
Yeah.
It's more for the protection of the people who are inside so they don't get hurt. But if somebody's walking out the door with merchandise, they don't even have permission or any kind of right, whatever it is, to stop that individual.
Yep.
And most of it's because they don't want that person, the security person, to be injured either. Because that you have somebody fighting them. They can do a number on somebody who's trying to stop them. And some of these people are we don't know what kind of drugs they're on that bump up their strength, that cause all kinds of other problems. But this is horrible because this puts business people in a really bad position. And you think, who's going to want to? I'm already seeing the situation here. I want to open a business here, but I can't because I'm looking at what they're expecting of me and the problem that we're having with crime in this area. Why would I do that to myself and have to stick around for another 6 months, losing the shirt off my back and my house because I'm not allowed to close because of this? This is totally absurd.
So the Board of Supervisors were all set to vote on this, and the day before they decided to take this vote, the supermarket chain Safeway announced, well, we'll keep the store open until next January.
Oh, God bless them.
Because they're feeling the pressure, they're feeling the heat. But can you imagine working in that store or having it as your regular shopping area?
They're going to have a hard time getting people just to work there. And then not only to work there, but then have management be able to afford to keep people there to work. I imagine, we're seeing it all over the place. Everybody's having a hard time keeping employees in a business. This is going to be hard for them, too, because they won't be able to afford that.
Supermarkets would be exempt if they had to close because of a natural disaster, but I would say homelessness can maybe qualify as a natural disaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we also know that that's just one problem with crime and running a business, but another problem is the number of cars that are being stolen.
That's off the charts, man. I mean, Washington and Maryland lead the charge with that. In 2023, their increases on car thefts, respectively, were 64% and 63%. That's huge. And I don't know what the numbers here are in Seattle. Wish I'd taken a few minutes to check that out, but I know it's up. You're hearing about stuff like this all the time.
Well, Kias are getting stolen, as we know.
Oh, yeah, Kias because and Hyundais.
Easy. Yeah, they're
Hyundais
easy to steal.
Are easy. Our capital, D.C., saw 1,149 thefts per 100,000 people, which is off the charts.
That's 1 in 100. That's
1
in 100,
One
and car thefts are up. They top a million now nationally since 2008, which is, again, off the charts. Huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you can point the finger directly at
liberal
crime policies that have included bail reform, no cash bail, people walking on the streets, out on the streets. They might not even put you in jail for an offense like this.
Yeah.
Or the police emphasis on tracking down stolen cars, maybe not even their top priority.
Well, there's so many things that relate right back to that is, you know, that we don't have enough police officers. So many big cities have said we're going to defund the police, and the end result is that we don't have enough cops to focus on that. They're probably running call to call for the calls that need their immediate attention.
Exactly.
A car theft certainly is worthy of attention, but not so much as, you know, somebody who's being assaulted, a domestic disturbance, things like that, that needs somebody there right away. So it's this.
And another reason for all this going on is the prices of used cars make it more enticing to go out and steal one. And I saw that a few cities are actually offering free steering wheel locks because of the number of cars are being stolen.
Yeah. You would think that now people with buying a new car, maybe the thing to offer them at before they leave the lot is, you know, a club or something like that that would
to hit the thieves with.
But then the thing too is to use that item when you park your car, no matter where you are.
Make sure you put a GPS tracking.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Yep.
Joe Biden's daughter in the news, Ashley, who, because she had a diary with some revealing information in there. Right,
yes.
Robert?
Yeah, Tom. A Florida mother was sentenced Tuesday to a whole month in prison and 3 months of home confinement for stealing and selling Joe Biden's daughter's diary to Project Veritas. Amy Harris was sentenced in Manhattan federal court by Judge Laura Taylor Swain, who called the Palm Beach, Florida woman's actions despicable.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, she just found it, though, right?
Well, she found it at her. She stashed the diary at a personal friend's house, and the woman came in and found the diary and instantly thought about making money on it.
The prosecutors were always saying she stole it.
Yes, they are.
And then, that's what happened.
Yeah, at sentencing, she said, "I do not believe I am above the law." After the prosecutor urged a prison sentence following her failure to appear at numerous sentencing dates on the grounds that she was consumed with caring for her two children, ages 8 and 6.
And she got some money for it.
She got $20,000. She was promised $40,000. She got half of it.
From?
Project Veritas.
And it's probably gone that quick, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in her defense, she did tell the judge she was a survivor of long-term domestic abuse, sexual trauma, and a lot of secrets revealed that about Mr. Joe Biden.
Yes.
In that diary that
no doubt.
People have made public. But she also said that she regrets making Ashley's childhood and life public through the disclosures. The judge said she was motivated by greed, which probably was true. And she'll spend 30 days in the slammer for it.
Oh, well, she got $20,000.
What I think is interesting is the defense attorney said she carries the shame and stigma of her actions. Kind of like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that was a little too much by the judge.
Also saw this in the news. The FBI is looking for the owner of a painting that was stolen during World War II. And it's kind of interesting.
Wow.
The painter, a Belgian painter, Jacob Jacobs, was born in 1812. He painted a pretty well-known seascape that they believe was stolen from Echternach during the Second World War. Now the FBI has recovered the painting, and it has been suffered a little bit of damage. But it's a beautiful seascape. I've looked at it online. Ships out on the water. It was thought to have been taken during the Battle of the Bulge, World War II. And the artist is actually related to Ludwig von Beethoven.
Oh, my gosh.
On his mother's side.
An artistic bent.
Studied at the Royal Academy of Fine Arts. Some of his paintings, pretty good penny. $87,000 for one of his works. So,
Did the Nazis steal it? Who knows?
The information I saw was pretty unclear on how the FBI acquired the painting, but they are doing their work to try to get it back to its rightful owner. So that's something they'll work on, and I wish them a lot of luck. The FBI has an art crime team, which was founded in 2004. After the looting of the Iraqi National Museum in 2003,
during the Gulf War.
So they're focusing on the recovery of stolen works of art. Since that year, they have recovered more than 20,000 artifacts.
That's huge.
Worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
What's really cool is the countries that had those pieces of art, or the people, hopefully are getting their pieces back that belong to them.
You would think that would be a great, you know, achievement to look at.
It's important to a culture to have their things back like that.
Oh, yeah. The rightful owners.
Yes.
We've got a story about a cruise passenger that is no longer with us after he jumped off the Royal Caribbean. I'll tell you about that coming up.
Refresh your mind, not just your nasal passage, with Barrage.
Barrage.
Our uniquely designed device directs a steady, high-pressure stream of thought-cleansing water in one ear and out the other, penetrating your cranium to erase those hard-to-forget images, thoughts, and sounds. Like that awkward moment when an elderly family member answered the door in his underwear. Perfect for removing bad movie dialogue forever etched in your memory banks for eons to come.
How we doing, baby?
I gotta go pee.
Useful for erasing infuriating, moronic, and dishonest claims from political leaders and biased news commentators.
The border is closed. The border is secure.
Generally, households are in very good financial shape.
We have dramatically reduced inflation.
We're down in crime in the subway system.
It's not Navaj, it's Barrage.
Barrage.
Barrage your brain with the cleansing action of refreshing memory-removing water with Barrage.
Barrage.
Take away those uncomfortable, irrelevant, unnecessary, unwanted thoughts that fill your mind with Barrage.
Barrage.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. Glad you're with us today. Father of a Florida cruise passenger is concerned about his 20-year-old son after he jumped off the Royal Caribbean ship, the Liberty of the Seas. The son, 20 years old, was apparently he had been drinking, jumped out a window.
You think?
I thought at first that he'd, you know, jumped off the top deck or something. This is an 18-story tall ship.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
But the 20-year-old victim or character who jumped off is a skilled driver. So, diver. Did I say driver? He might be a skilled driver, too.
Bit
of a difference there.
They could let him drive the ship. But that's why his dad has not given up hope, or at least as of the time that this article was written, had not given up hope that he might still be alive. But this happened at like 4-5 a.m. in the morning. And the big question in my mind is, the guy was 20. He's not legal drinking age. Who was serving him all that alcohol on the cruise ship?
I think Dad even said that we don't drink. So obviously,
wow,
this kid was totally out of his element.
This was down in the Bahamas. And he was obviously upset because he was getting into an argument with his father. And just kind of one of those things, well, I'll show you.
Yeah, he said to his dad, I'll fix this right now. And off he went.
Jumped out the window.
I can't imagine how tragic this is for the family. My gosh.
The dad was also raising the question of who served him all of that booze. On this 4-day cruise, they were headed to Cuba and the Bahamas, Grand Inagua Island. Tragic situation.
Yes, very tragic.
And this kid worked on a fishing vessel. So maybe he was a good swimmer, but after all these days, just wish our best prayers and thoughts for the family.
I know they usually only just look for somebody for a few days, and then they consider it. Now,
yeah, they call out the search.
Now it's just a recovery
thing.
Yeah, the Coast Guard has called off the search.
That's
tough
devastating.
Situation. And the dad has some guilt feelings for fussing. Part of the reason for the argument, according to this story, is that he was fussing at him for being drunk.
Wow. So, well, he's not drinking anymore, poor guy.
Story. Pfizer is in trouble.
Oh, Pfizer.
In the UK for claims that we had a really good COVID vaccine.
Well, they put them out there on social media, and social media, so many people are tuned into social media, whether it's Facebook or TikTok or anything else, and they put the word out that these were good vaccines to have, and the claim was our vaccine candidate, the vaccine itself, is 95% effective in preventing COVID-19, 95% effective in people over 65 years old.
Right.
And they didn't have all that data collected properly.
And they were making it up?
Yep, making it up.
These were claims they made back in 2021?
Yeah, as this was being rolled out. Yep, exactly. It's the sixth time that Pfizer's been reprimanded by the regulator for promotion of the vaccine. Pfizer has misled the public, made up unsubstantiated claims, and failed to present information in a balanced way, which colors everybody's opinion of the different things. And obviously, things have happened. There's all kinds of stuff there about vaccine injury now. And this is all coming back to haunt them, I'm sure. Somebody commented, it's astonishing how many times Pfizer's senior executives have been found guilty of serious regulatory offense. I can't even read today. In this case, including the most serious offense of all under the UK code of practice, yet all consequences for Pfizer and the individuals concerned continue to be derisory. This hopeless system of regulation for a multi-billion dollar life and death industry has become a sham in dire need of reform.
And I think they even went a step further by saying it was pretty much unlicensed medicine being disseminated on Twitter. This was the pharmaceutical watchdog in England called the Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority. And unlicensed medicine disseminated on Twitter to health professions and members of the public in the UK. But Pfizer did own up to it, saying that they recognize and accept the issues highlighted by this, and said they were deeply sorry.
I wonder what page of the newspaper that went in. If enough people really saw that.
And they did make billions of dollars in profits.
They're not hurting.
So if there's a fine, they can pay it.
Indeed. Sasquatches are back in the news as well.
Tell us.
Not necessarily the actual Sasquatches, but the movie version, Robert.
A movie is rolling out by the name of Sasquatch Sunset, but in test screenings, it's so relentlessly gross that people are walking out of the movie. But the star, Jesse Eisenberg, says the film was a labor of love. Jesse, one of the film's stars and producers, told Yahoo Entertainment that he's been more than focused on the response he's getting from most viewers, that the film was a life-changing visual experience.
I have a problem with this because it's kind of like we have people out there who... it's just weird that we have people complaining about the movie, and yet these same people go watch a horror movie, a slasher flick or something. It's like, this is weird.
Well, you know, Eisenberg is just one of four members of a nomadic cryptid family in Sasquatch Sunset, along with Riley Keough, Christoph Zakadenik, and Nathan Zellner, who also co-directs it with brother David Zellner. So the Sasquatches go about their daily lives hunting, gathering, pooping, mating, and exploring the world around them with unbridled frankness. It's just a movie cinema person's dream to see pooping Sasquatches.
No, thank you.
No.
I don't blame him for walking out.
The movie is going to be released to the nation or the world on April 18th. So get ready, folks, for some pooping, mating Sasquatches.
I was amazed at some of the
makeup
effects that they had to use, not computer generated, but they were using glue and paint to put on the skin of these Sasquatch actors.
Every part of their body. Eisenberg also said that all the makeup and paint and glue made him feel very claustrophobic. And it was physically taxing and physically exhausting for the actors. But it makes good cinema.
Indeed.
Yes.
But how many times do you see people just walk out of a movie? And I mean, after you paid good money, or these are test screenings, so maybe they weren't paying customers.
Well, get ready for the shock of your life.
Obviously enough people stay that they see that it's okay to go ahead and release it.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait.
Maybe they'll be making some changes to the dialogue and whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. From what they said, the dialogue isn't very impressive.
But I wonder if the Sasquatches use toilet paper.
Watch the movie. Tell us, Robert.
Well, I'll find out.
How much does your cat remember of you after you leave the house? You might be surprised. A little bit more than dogs, they say. More on that just ahead.
Skip the trip. We are a combination fitness center and emergency room trauma facility for that unforeseen mishap. We've got treadmills, stairmasters, free weights, as well as gurneys, operating tables, bandages, and tourniquets. Just in case your workout doesn't work out. Why wait for the medics and ambulance to show up when you turn an ankle, pull a tendon, or throw out your back? Avoid paying those costly ambulance bills with a one-stop shop approach to getting fit. With state-of-the-art weight resistance equipment and trauma-level physicians and emergency personnel at Workout Pass Out. When your ticker stops ticking or you suffer a massive coronary, pull a muscle or turn an ankle. No need to wait. With our complimentary wheelchair attendants, we will transport you to our own built-in clinic and check you in. Some delays may be expected as we process your insurance information. Don't delay. Get the most out of your exercise routine with full medical attention from our professionals. Be sure to check out Workout Pass Out. Go to workoutpassout.com for a location near you.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show. We are here with you in one of our inaugural editions of our show. We're glad you have been able to join us today. There is a project going on down in California in the skies over San Francisco to help with global warming, to cool it off a little bit by injecting the sky with sea salt particles. They're trying a little study on the what would happen if these particles get into the air. What they say is that this solar geoengineering experiment could lead to brighter clouds that reflect sunlight, therefore possibly lowering the temperature. This is happening atop the USS Hornet Sea and with help of the Air and Space Museum in Alameda, California. Kind of a secretive study. Not too many people have been told about this. And some critics are a little concerned that there hasn't been much study on what the negative effects of this experiment would be. The idea is that they're trying to increase the density of clouds, thereby slowing down global warming. Will it work?
They were going to do a test over Sweden by Harvard University. And it was funded by Bill Gates, but it was canceled due to opposition from campaigners and indigenous groups.
Which really is smart. You start messing around with stuff like that, and you open up a whole totally different can of worms that, you know, they don't fit. You just don't know where this is going to go, how it's going to affect so many things.
The deep pockets of Bill Gates affects us in so many ways. Oh. I hear he's also donated $1 million to the initiative here in Washington State that would stop, that would reverse the credits for that Governor Inslee put on our gas bill, the extra 50 cents to a dollar that we're paying.
Highest in the nation, our taxes on gas here in the state of Washington.
Yeah, you must be trying to catch up to California. Some of them are, I mean, remember last week, somebody had his gas.
$7 a gallon, yeah.
Just nuts.
So he's definitely doing some things. What they say about this Scientific American is saying that artificially creating cloud cover could affect weather patterns, could actually do some harm to our fisheries and farms, but the people who are behind this project going to go ahead and
using the earth as a guinea pig.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah. With using us as guinea pigs.
Yep.
We'll see how that turns out. We also know which city in Washington State is becoming a goal for people to live in, one of the best cities in our state to live in, Lil?
Da, 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 da. It's Bellevue.
Yay, Bellevue. Yeah. Go east side.
They look at a lot of different things. They're looking for things like safety, cost of living, the infrastructure, proximity to amenities, all kinds of things come up to make up what they want to see. It's an organization, a magazine called Niche, or is that pronounced Niche? N-I-C-H-E. And but Bellevue was crowned the best city to live in the Evergreen State. It made the top 10 of the nation. Don't know exactly where in the top 10, but it did receive an A+, which is pretty cool. Over 150,000 people call Bellevue home, and it's one of the best cities to live in.
Bill Gates does.
Medina.
Is that part of Bellevue?
Bellevue's nice. It has the city park
and it's a beautiful area.
Maidenbauer Park and a beautiful waterfront.
It's also very expensive.
Few
right?
homeless people.
Yeah. Homes all over $1 million.
Yeah.
There's a few homeless there, but another city that's also nice is Kirkland. You'd never see any graffiti on any buildings over there or
I like Kirkland too.
People sleeping in the streets.
Yeah. Nice area. But they gave us the list. The list here, according to this, is number one is Bellevue. Number two is Seattle, which I have a hard time really believing because of all the problems that Seattle has. I mean, people are trying to move out of Seattle because of a number of different reasons. Three is Spokane. Four is Tacoma. Five, Vancouver. Six, Kent. And seven is Everett. So.
Go east.
I like Kent.
I like Kent.
Yeah.
Kent has a lot of varieties of, you got the East Hill, and the West Hill, and the downtown.
And you have, I think there's over 100 dialects of different languages just in Kent, which is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
For all you listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, this is Washington State, and we will mostly concentrate on national issues on this show, but we thought that we'd throw that in. Another thing we thought we'd throw in is, are you a cat person? How much does your cat remember about you?
Well, let me tell you about that. Cats have 300 million neurons in their brains compared to dogs that have 160 million neurons. So that makes cats pretty smart. Do they have a memory? Well, yes, they do. They have a short-term memory span of about 16 hours. And they have, when it comes to long-term memory, they can retain certain events for up to 3 years.
So they know if they don't like that Purina cat food.
Or yes.
Meow mix. Meow, 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 meow.
And just like humans, cats' memories start to fade when they're 12 years old. So it's kind of like cat dementia. You hit 12, but before that, they remember their owners.
How much is that in cat years?
That would be 84, I think.
Do they have the same as dog years?
So it starts out like, I think it's seven or eight years per human year.
Yeah.
For the first like 8 years, and it starts to descend from that. It becomes more like 5 or 6 years, and it goes on like to that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't remain consistently 8 years per human year all the way through.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot.
I wonder if they get a senior kitty discount.
I'm glad I don't get Alzheimer's at 12 years old.
Yeah. You know, but cats also have a highly developed sense of smell, which helps them navigate and mark their territory. Thanks to their ability to leave scent marks, cats can remember their way back home, where their essentials are, like their bed, litter box, toys, owner. Yes. So we don't give cats enough credit for this.
So, and a lot of people really think that cats are aloof and independent. And really, what you put into a cat is what you're going to get out of a cat. If you give it a lot of attention, they're going to seek that attention. I have a cat, and I've actually been teaching him tricks.
And really?
I can get him to sit down.
Can he sit on a toilet yet?
I've seen that. I've heard him doing that. I have not gone to that.
Are you a cat person, Robert?
I am a cat person. I don't have one right now. My roommate and I don't have kitties or dogs, but I would like one. I'd like one dog, one cat.
What other tricks have you taught yours?
He hands me his right or left paw as I ask him. I've gotten to lay down. I'm working on teaching him to roll over from that laying down position.
I thought that was a dog deal.
It's pretty interesting. I've gotten him to turn around in a circle and sit down both ways.
Yeah.
And he's a couple of other things I'm working on.
I think it was on the Tonight Show, a guy had like five cats. And they were trained and they did amazing tricks.
Yeah, and they're like dogs. They're food motivated.
Yeah.
And that's just the way this guy is, Mocha. And it's good for me to do something like that with him, and I think it's beneficial to him. It's some movement and some attention he's getting from me.
I try to
do it twice a day and trying to branch out from that. I need to look at YouTube and see
what treats does he get as a reward?
He doesn't like regular hard treats. He likes the paste that comes in the tubes.
Really?
Yeah.
Delicious.
So he does a trick and you feed him some paste?
Yeah. He's very happy with it.
Wow. So, I got to meet this cat. Should bring him to the set.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that would go there.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Rob, Tom, and Lil Show, our inaugural edition, as I might add. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are honest, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, things you learn, receive, hear, and see, think on these things and do these, and the God of peace will be with you. On behalf of Robert Bryan and Lil Hinkle, I'm Thomas Brock. From the bottom of our hearts, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day.